Welcome to the Bridge International Church, an English-speaking church located in the western suburbs of Paris. Here at the Bridge, we are committed to helping you discover God's plan for your life, relate to others, grow in your relationship with God, and experience life in the freedom of Christ. Join us as we listen to this week's message from the Bridge.
Today, we are starting a new series called Shift. And we felt like it's a great time of the year to address change. All of us probably in some way are facing a new season right now. Some of us may have just recently moved here and we're dealing with a new city. Others of us are just starting a new season in our work or school, maybe new classes, a new project, new schedule. Maybe some of us are adjusting to a new home, having made a move over the summer. Anytime we come to a new season, the idea with this series is, how does God take us from where we are to where he wants us to go? And so each week, we're going to look at an example of someone in the Bible who faced a serious change in their lives. The question with any new season is, what will we do with it? Will we go our own way, or will we really run after God? We're going to look today at someone who instead ran away from God, and his name is Jonah. Jonah is a guy who would come into a support or addiction group, and he'd have the name tag on. He'd say, "Hello, I'm Jonah. I'm a runner. You know, when God tells me to go one direction, I go the other. I'm running from God." And a lot of us are familiar with the story of Jonah, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on the sizzle of it, you know, the whale. But I will give you a recap in case it's new to you. Basically, Jonah was a spokesman for God, someone we call a prophet. And he would share messages with the people from God. One day, God says to Jonah, "I want you to leave Israel, to leave your countrymen, the people you're comfortable with. I want you to go to the city of Nineveh that's over in a foreign nation, the most wicked city that he knew of." He said, "I want you to go there and I want you to give them a message so they could turn from their wicked ways and follow after me." And Jonah didn't want to do it. So, you know, Nineveh, let me look at the map. Nineveh was like that direction from where he was. He got on a boat and went that direction towards a city called Tarshish over in the area of Spain. You know, complete opposite direction, complete different modes of travel. Sometimes when we're running from God, we do dumb things. And to me, one of those dumb things is getting on a boat if you're running from God. Because at least if he went the other direction, he would have been on land, you know. But he gets on a boat, and the short story is that God sends a storm to stop the boat, and the crew of the boat, they realize what's going on, that he is a man of God disobeying God. And so they finally decide that the only way to save themselves is to throw Jonah overboard. And so they do in the midst of the storm. They throw him overboard. And then we have this story of how God miraculously sends this great fish that we assume is a whale of some sort to swallow him up. And that's where we pick up the story of Jonah today. We're going to start with Jonah 2. So all the really exciting stuff starts in the first chapter of Jonah. I mean, it's just fast paced. So if you want to turn to the book of Jonah, it's one of those small ones towards the end of the Old Testament. If you get to the stories of Jesus, you've gone too far. But it's always easy if you have a Bible app, you can just pull it right up. We'll put most of the scriptures on the screen. There'll be one that I'll read to you. Jonah 2, verse 1, this is where we find Jonah. "From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, 'In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry.'" What we're going to do today is we're going to look at four things we learn from Jonah about running from God. And what we learn most about running from God is what to do afterwards. Because a lot of us in this room may not be running from God right now, but maybe you did in the past. I think at one time or another, all of us have probably run from God, have probably resisted the direction we felt like God wanted for our lives. We felt like we knew better. We felt like there were things we wanted that God would somehow mess up in our lives if we followed him. So the very first thing we learn is what Jonah shares right here, is that God is still listening even while we're running, even while we're disobeying, God is still listening. And the question in my human nature, I ask myself is why? Why is God still listening? You can imagine Jonah at this time, he's like, God, you get me out of this fish, for the rest of my days, I'll do what you want me to do. And God's looking at him like, you don't have many days left, you're in a fish in the bottom of the ocean, no leverage here. Jonah does not have any bargaining chips. If you've ever had someone come to you for advice, of course, this has never happened to me as a pastor, but someone comes to you as advice and you give them advice that you think is godly and wise, and they totally disregard it and do something different. And, it's just a matter of time when things blow up on them. It's not going well, and they come back and they want your help. They just need it. And again, this would never happen to me, but maybe some of us in the room might say, man, I told you not to do that, We don't want to listen when someone has totally disregarded us. But fortunately, the good news today is God is not like us. God is not petty. He's not vindictive. And I am really thankful for that. God was still listening to Jonah even after he had totally disobeyed him. And this is important for us to know, because if we don't realize that God is still listening, then our feeling is, when we're running from God, when we start thinking, what can I do? How can I make this better? My life is falling apart. Because inevitably, when we disobey God, when we go our own way, things may go well for a while, but sooner or later, stuff starts to crumble around us. And it affects not only us, but affects people around us, friends, family. Life comes apart. We've all been there. In one way or another, I'm sure. And so in that moment, we feel like, how can I fix this? I've disobeyed God. So I know I can't go back to God. How else can I fix this? But if we remember this, that God is always listening, we can avoid that cycle of taking the wrong direction. When we've rebelled from God, we feel like, we've got to fix it ourselves. We've got to make things right. There's no way we can go back to God until we've made things right. And what God wants us to know is, it's okay. I am still listening. I am here for you. You can come back to me. So Jonah cries out to him, and God hears him. The second thing we learn, though, is not quite as comforting. It's that God is thorough in his discipline. When we disobey God, he disciplines us. He disciplined Jonah in a big way. We look at, it's not on the screen, but verse 3 of Jonah 2 says, Jonah's speaking to God, "You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me." Jonah recognizes that it was God that did that. It wasn't the men on the ship, even though they physically did it. He recognized that this is God disciplining him. He had disobeyed God, so God steps in, and that is not the most comfortable thing. Many times when things are falling apart in our lives, we get mad at God. We say, how could you let this happen to me? But years later, we look back and we see that we brought those things on ourselves. And it was God intervening, not paying us back, but bringing us back to him. That's what God's discipline is like. But it's not gentle. Jonah prays this prayer in this great fish. How much time do you think he spent in that great fish before he started to repent? Before he said, God, forgive me, I've done the wrong thing. He spent 3 days in that fish. Do you think it took him 3 days to repent? I bet it took, 3 seconds, I mean, he was right on it. But sometimes God knows that it takes pain in our lives to open our eyes when circumstances force us back to him. It's like a loving father with a child. Do you want the disobedient child just to wander off on their own? No, you want them to come back to you. But often you have to intervene forcefully in the circumstances to bring them back to you and follow you again. Israel after they left Egypt, they disobeyed God. And because they disobeyed God, they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Sometimes to us, does that seem like overkill? Like, oh, you know, they made some mistakes, but 40 years, an entire generation gone. God is thorough in his discipline. Later on in Israel's history, when they rejected him, they were conquered by the Babylonians and then the Persians, and they spent 70 years in exile. I can guarantee you that in the moment of their defeat, in the moment when they were being hauled away from Jerusalem and other cities, they were repenting at that moment. They were turning their hearts back to God. But God didn't say, oh, okay, well, if you're sorry, I'll just make everything right. 70 years they spent in exile. We see David, who had this great sin with this woman Bathsheba and against her husband, took his life through the circumstances that he set up. David repented when he was confronted by the prophet Nathan, but that was not the end of it. David lost his child. He almost lost his kingdom. There were consequences. There was pain in his life. When a parent disciplines their child, they want that child as they grow to experience that with rebellion, with disobedience. They want them to associate pain. They want them to associate there are consequences. There are things going to happen that I'm not going to like. That's a way someone grows in wisdom and understands that our actions have consequences. And sometimes a deep scar from the past, perhaps you've gone through a time when you the circumstances that have come about in your life have been painful and deep. Sometimes that scar is the most valuable memory we have as we move forward for our future. I know in my life, some of the most painful times I've experienced have been the times that I've grown the most. And many times they've been times that have been a catalyst for me to make that shift in my life to go in that new direction that God wants me to go. Many times, it's only when we look back that we can recognize this was God working in my life. And we can have enough perspective to say, thank you, God. Even as painful as that was, thank you for what you taught me and from where you've brought me now. His discipline, he changes us for the better. You know, I want to encourage you parents, and fortunately, I cannot speak from experience. My oldest is 15, but, you know, as adolescents grow into adults, there are many times when they go their own way. They're running from God. The best thing we can do, unfortunately, is allow them to experience the full consequences of whatever it is they're doing. Because within us, we want to be our child's best friend. You know, we don't want to bring discipline into their lives. And when a child gets older and is running their own way, our first instinct as a parent is to rescue them from whatever consequences they're facing. But what I can tell you, and you'll have to come back to me in future years and remind me of what I said. Hopefully I'll never experience that with my children. But we know that's a part of life. But having ministered with people for 20 years, and the first 10 years of that was with teenagers, and seeing so much happen in families, I can tell you that the more we try to save our children from the discipline of God, from the consequences of their choices, the longer we prolong their pain, our pain, and we short-circuit what God may be trying to do in their lives. As painful as that is, that scar they receive in that moment may be the thing that saves them from a greater deal of pain later on. The shortest route to your kids finally embracing the values you've been trying to teach them, it's God's discipline. And even though his discipline is thorough, the good news is that his love is even greater. It's always there for us. The third thing is that when we stop running, you know, and this is where we start to shift away from the disobedience of Jonah to where we're at in our lives. Where is God wanting to take us now? How do we move forward? When we stop running, we return to his provision and protection. We haven't lost that because we've disobeyed God. When we start following after him, he's right there with us. When we believe that there was something good in life that we're going to miss out by following God, and it's only down the road that we realize that we didn't find any of what we're looking for, and in fact, everything we were looking for was found in God. That's what Jonah discovers in verses 8 and 9. He says, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. In other words, they're looking for something else. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. See, Jonah was looking to manufacture his own salvation. He was trying to be saved from something he didn't want to do and run away from it. But what he ultimately discovered is you can't run away from God's plan for you. And in fact, if he would have obeyed God, God would have given him the strength and peace that he needed to do even something he didn't want to do. Go to that wicked city and share the good news that if they turn to God, that he would not bring down the judgment upon them that they deserve. Jonah found that salvation only comes from God. Eventually, we have to come back to him. Then the last thing is my favorite, and it's the one that really sets up the rest of our series. God is a God of second chances. I don't know if any of you have ever, I have kids. If any of you ever seen the VeggieTales Jonah movie, great song in there. God is the God of second chances. But I won't sing it for you today. Don't worry. This experience where we find Jonah is just the beginning for him. This is the moment where his life takes a turn, where he experiences the total shift in his life. Because in verse 10, after Jonah cries out to the Lord, it says, the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Lovely. I love the image of that. But God wasn't done with Jonah. You'd assume God would say, I tried with you. I've already sent somebody on this mission. I'm done with you. But instead, in verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. It's a second chance for Jonah. The word of the Lord comes to him. What a precious thing for God to speak to you. And Jonah had just thrown it away. But God shows his grace and mercy, and he speaks to him again. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Jonah was able to be part of something incredible. Part of the reason he didn't want to go in the first place is because those were wicked people. He didn't want to see them turn from God. He didn't have a heart of compassion for them. But now, when he goes, that whole city was changed because of the message that God brings them. So whether you feel like you're up to the task or worthy of being used by God, I've got news for you. Even if you've been a runner, even if you have a name tag on just like Jonah, hi, I'm Todd, I'm a runner, I've run from God. We have all run from God in some way. And you know what? God has a plan for all of us right now, right here where we live in this new season. We find out that whether we're running from God completely, we've rejected God in the past, we've been in rebellion for him, or perhaps we've run from God in more subtle ways. Maybe we've said, God, I love you and I'm serving you. But, there's this one area of my life. Maybe it's something about the way I do business that maybe is not exactly the way you want me to do business. But I'm going to say, why don't you stay over there? I'm going to hold on to this part of my life for myself. Or maybe you have a relationship in your life that is not healthy. And you say, God, I love you. But by the way, I'm keeping this over here. I'm keeping this over here. Those are the more subtle ways that more often we're running from God. We're trying to do our own thing. But no matter what we've done in the past, God is here ready to give us a second chance to use us. There's nothing good that he is withholding from us. What I'd like to summarize the entire message of the Bible as being that you cannot outrun the bounds of God's grace. God's mercy is always there for you. He wants to give you a second chance. So wherever whatever your experience has been, you say, you know, I have not led a good life. I have not been a good Christian. Put that in the past and start running after God. And he's got incredible things that he wants to do through you. Do you realize that all the heroes in the Bible, when we look through, they were all runners? You know, they all disobeyed God at some point. But at some point there came a shift in their life and things changed. Paul, who we read his words earlier to the church about the communion supper, Paul was a guy who threw Christians in prison and persecuted them. But later on, God uses him to write half the New Testament. You know, David, as we said earlier, he sinned terribly and he faced consequences for that. But God kept his covenant with him to say, your kingdom will have no end. And generations later, Jesus was his descendant. And that promise to David was still true. Peter. Oh, Peter. We love to pick on Peter. It's such an easy target, you know. Peter, he sees all the miracles of Jesus. He's right there for it. But then Jesus gets arrested and there's this little girl that comes up to Peter. And he's like, hey, you're one of them. You knew Jesus. And Peter's like, I don't even know him. I don't know what you're talking about. And we're just like, Peter, you know. We have to imagine that Peter was much more like us than we'd like to think. But Jesus comes back to Peter and he says, you know, Peter, I'm going to use you to build my church. The faith you've showed in me, I'm going to use that. Even today, the Pope claims that spiritual authority descended from Peter. What a role Peter played in the early church as we read through the book of Acts. God used him. God is a God of second chances. We're all runners, but God is there with us. Just before we close, I'd like you to watch. It was on during the greeting time, but you probably didn't catch it. We're just going to watch the first half of this video from Matthew West. You'll see the words of the song. Think about this, because this is God's message to us today.
When you see broken beyond repair, I see healing beyond belief. When you see too far gone, I see one step away from home. How many times can one heart break? It was never supposed to be this way. Look in the mirror, but you find someone you never thought you'd be. Still recognize the one I love in your tear-stained eyes. I know you might not see enough, so lift your eyes to me. When you see broken beyond repair, I see healing beyond belief. When you see too far gone, I see one step away from home. When you see nothing but damaged goods, I see something good in the making. I'm not finished yet. When you see wounded, I see mended.
My prayer for you is, we go over these next 21 days, is that you would allow God to do something fresh and new. That you would put aside any guilt from your past. You may have run from God, and you may be still dealing with the consequences of that. But what God sees in you is someone that he wants to bless and use. And I want to invite you to spend these next 21 days with us. I want you to set aside times of prayer each day. And as I mentioned, our staff blog under the Grow menu at our website, we posted on Facebook this morning a link. Some resources there to help you to develop your prayer life. There's a couple suggested devotionals that you could read through over 21 days. They're tied in with the YouVersion Bible app that you can use on your devices. But I'd like you to pray in two ways. I'd like you to have this focus. If you'd like to combine fasting with your prayer, that may be new to you. So we've posted some question and answer, some guides on fasting as well, because that is a great practice in our lives to combine with our times of prayer. It helps us focus on God and set other things aside. I have something special in my life that is going to be a little bit painful. It was chocolate in January. It's more painful than that. Just something that I feel like is going to bring me clearer focus for the next 21 days. So there might be some things besides food that you'd want to set aside in fasting. You can do this however you want. I'm not telling you how to do it. We've put some resources online. But I'd like you to take 21 days, and I'd like you to pray each day. I'd like you to pray about two things. First, with this idea of shift in our lives. First, pray about the shift for you, changing direction. God, what do you want for me in this new season? How do you want to use me? What do you want for my life? I want to follow you. I'm not running anymore. I want to follow you. Pray about that shift in your life over these next 21 days. And then the other thing is I want you to pray for that shift in the lives of those around you. We've been challenged you needed to pray for one or two people, just keeping it focused, one or two people that are in your life regularly, a coworker, a family member, a neighbor, someone that you interact with. Pray that shift would happen in their lives, that they would discover Jesus the way you have, that their eyes would be open. They would see that nothing in their past disqualifies them from the love that Jesus has for them. Let's pray. We pray for ourselves. We pray for these people around us. Join me in that.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to get in touch or find out more about the Bridge International Church, please visit our website, www.thebridgeparis.com.